Good morning. Good morning. We've come to the end, or maybe is it just a new beginning? I talked a little bit about last week about we can look at this end of the year in a lot of different ways, and I would encourage us not to look at it as the end of something. We are culminating our liturgical year, but we're really looking forward to what lies before us. What lies before us is the journey between here and salvation. We are called to be closer to God every day of our life, and that means that we are in a constant state of transformation. That is what we are called to. And so this morning in our first reading, we hear the story about King David becoming the anointed king. Now, the truth of the matter in the story is God had already anointed David king long before the story we hear in today's first reading. Today's first reading was when the people finally acknowledged him and recognized what God had done previously and put him in the position of being an earthly king. A king following God's leadership, but still, nonetheless, an earthly king. And when we see the story of David, we find a king who did a lot of really good things and also made a whole lot of mistakes. He's an earthly king. He had his weaknesses within the flesh, and so he found himself bound by that within his journey. But nonetheless, what is said of King David today? If we go to Israel today and we go to the tomb of King David, and some of you have been there, there are inscriptions, "Here is a man who sought the heart of God." That is the kind of king that David was. That's not the kind of king that Jesus is. But David is our example of a good earthly king. So we celebrate today as the celebration of Christ the king above all other kings, the Lord above all other lords. And so what we hear in the second reading today from St. Paul is him telling us about the great qualities of Christ and how he was truly king above all kings. He was God made flesh. He was the evidence of God made known to us. Jesus did not need to come to earth for his own sake. God knew what the earth looked like. He had created it. God knew what humanity was all about. He had created it. We needed to meet God, and we needed to meet him in a powerful way so that our lives could be changed, and he could become our example. He could become the perfect example, the perfect lamb slain for our sins, and he could truly sit upon the throne with us, acknowledging him for his kingship. C.S. Lewis, in the early years of his transformation to Christianity, wrote a book, and in the book he says, "If Shakespeare were to ever meet Hamlet," any of you who read literature, think about that one for a minute. "If Shakespeare were to ever meet Hamlet, it would have to be at Shakespeare's doing." Hamlet wasn't his own creation. He was the creation of Shakespeare. Shakespeare had given Hamlet his voice. Shakespeare had given Hamlet his image. Shakespeare had given Hamlet everything. So if Shakespeare is to ever meet Hamlet, it has to be at Shakespeare's doing. I think it could be argued equally or at least similarly that in order for us to meet God, it had to be at God's doing. We can try as hard as we want to meet or to know God, but until God reveals himself to us, we cannot meet or know him for who he is. But that is the story of Jesus Christ. He came to earth to live and die as one of us so that God might, at his own doing, meet his creation in a way that his creation would understand and could grasp and allow that meeting, that happening, to transform our lives into a new creation. It's often been said, and Paul alludes to this in the second reading today, that the first throne of Jesus is a cross. That was his first place of elevation. Now, that's a hard image for me personally to think about and to grasp. Because I don't see the cross necessarily as a throne. I see it as a place of, first of all, a place of torture. Secondly, a place that embodies for us salvation. It is through that sacrifice that we have been saved. But I struggle with the image of that as a throne because I see Christ in the ascension as returning to heaven where he is seated at the right hand of God the Father in all majesty and glory in the seat of honor. But Christ chose the cross. We didn't choose it for him. Oh, I know there's some people 2,000 years ago that they think it was their decision. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus chose the cross because he understood the necessity of his sacrifice for the salvation of all of his creation. I've often thought of the story of the cross reflecting back to some earlier teachings of Jesus where he says it is the heart of God that all might be saved and none might be lost. Well, the only way that none could be lost is if there were some perfect sacrifice that could remedy the weaknesses of humanity. And so Christ made that ultimate sacrifice. He is not just a lamb that was slain. He is the perfect lamb who was slain. He is not just the spotless sacrifice. He is the perfect sacrifice. And it is in his sacrifice that we are made whole. And so we now go back to the question, as Father Mike shared with us in the opening comments of the Mass, do we see Christ as king? That's the question that's posed in the story of the crucifixion today in the gospel reading. There are two thieves. One sees Jesus for who he is, and one sees Jesus for someone to mock. There was a plaque above his head. There was no question in anybody standing there what he was called. He is the King of the Jews. It was clear there for everybody to see, written in multiple languages. No way you could mistake who this person was that was being crucified. But one sees that image as something that is not real. Oh, he calls himself a king, but look at him. He doesn't look much like a king. He looks like a man nailed to a cross. He looks like a man who's been beaten in scores. He looks like a man who's dying like a thief, just like I am. If you really are such a king, save yourself. And by the way, while you're at it, save me too. I know I can't get me off this cross. But if you have that kind of ability, if you have that kind of power, here's what he's really saying, I don't think you do. But if you have that kind of ability and you have that kind of power, jump down off this tree and take me with you. And then there's the other thief, who realizes the depravity of his own humanity. And he barks back. We belong here. We are getting what we deserve. But this man doesn't belong here. This man's done nothing wrong. And in that moment, he has what I would argue maybe divine revelation. I can't imagine any other way he knew it. Any other way he could have proclaimed what he proclaimed. Jesus, would you remember me this day? I'm getting what I deserve. I don't deserve to get off this cross. Didn't mean he liked being there, by the way. But I don't deserve to get off this cross. But Lord, would you remember me this day? And Jesus proclaims to him, I will and I do. And Jesus proclaims to you and I, not just today, but every day of our life, that he will for us as well. If we will turn to him, if we will proclaim him as king, not only with our mouths, but with our lives, if we will acknowledge that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that means that we reject all other kingships. That means we reject all other lordships. That doesn't mean we reject all authority. But we don't bow to another kingship, the kingship of money, the kingship of the flesh. But we bow only to the kingship of heaven. That even though we fail miserably on our journey, Jesus says to us, as he did the thief on the cross, I will remember you in paradise. This is the story of our salvation, that in spite of ourselves, in spite of our failings, Christ remembers us. He didn't only remember us 2,000 years ago, but he remembers us every day. And he says to us in Scripture that he has gone to prepare a place for us. In his Father's house, there are many mansions. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen some castles of some kings, and they look pretty magnificent. And then I imagine for a moment, but my king is the King of Kings. My king is the king above all kings. If they can have that kind of castle, I can't even begin to imagine the castle that my king might have. And he's made a promise to me and to you that he's gone there to prepare a place just for us. Not because of our worthiness, but because of the depth of his love for us. Now, I use that word worthy, and I've had people over the years say, I've heard all my life I'm worthy, and that's a painful thing. It's not meant to be painful, it's meant to be reality. Because until I understand that I'm a sinner, I don't need to be saved. Until I understand the depravity and the weaknesses of my flesh, I don't need someone or something greater than me to take me out of that place or that position. Maybe we've heard it this way: until you hit the bottom of the pit, you don't realize that only in that moment is there no way to go but up. God doesn't want us in despair. God doesn't want us in the bottom of the pit. God doesn't want us to be walking around kicking ourselves or being unhappy with ourselves. God wants us to feel the depth of his love. And the story of his love is found in Jesus Christ. And today we come together to celebrate the depth of the love of our Creator. He is not only King of all kings, the more modern use of this solemnity is King of the Universe. It almost sounds like a good movie title. But it's not about a movie, it's about our lives. And it is about the depth of love. And I encourage you as we move forward this morning into the Eucharist that we remember all that Christ has done for us. And that the depth of his love some 2,000 years ago on a cross on Calvary was that he was willing to forgive us of our sins. That he was willing to take what was wrong and make it right. That he was willing to love his creation so much to do whatever was necessary to open the doors of heaven for you and for me. And this morning, he shares that with us in his feast of the Last Supper. The Eucharist is our gateway between this life and eternal life. It is in the Eucharist that for a moment we get a taste of heaven. It is in the Eucharist that what Christ offered us in his sacrifice and his love is given to us in a very real physical sense through the sacrament of the Eucharist. May we celebrate this day that Christ is not only a king, but he is the king. He is not only a Lord, but he is the Lord. And that his love for us is beyond our understanding. And that is enough for us to follow him all the way to heaven. Amen.